Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. This is the second and the shortest of the four gospels. It's one of the three gospels that seem to follow the same thread of Jesus' life. We call them the synoptic gospels. Our passage today is one that might be familiar enough to some of you that it's difficult to hear it with fresh ears. So try to imagine like you've never heard it before. This is from the 11th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 11. This can be found on page 1572 and 1573 in your pew Bible. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and he will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. There's a part of me that wanted to introduce the gospel reading this morning by saying, "Stop me if you've heard this one before." For many Christians, this is where we see the beginning of the end, because we know the story. We've slogged through weeks of Lent and fasting and praying and going to extra church, and finally we're only a week away from Easter. Finally, we get to shout Hosanna and wave our branches around. This is the triumphant entry. This is when Jesus comes into Jerusalem for the very end of his life. But when we look back on it from something like 2,000 years later, we look back saying, it's almost here, Easter. It's almost the part where he's not in the tomb and we know he's the Messiah. Now, this is such an important story. It's in all four Gospels. Many stories are in two or three of the Gospels because the Gospel writers are all thought to have been either followers of Jesus or friends or students of Jesus' disciples. So they had a lot in common in regards to their experiences. There's almost direct overlap in some of them, especially in Matthew and Mark. So many scholars agree that Matthew probably had the Gospel of Mark sitting on his desk when he wrote his own gospel. But there aren't many stories that we see in all four of the Gospels. This is a rare gem of a story. And with all the excitement going on, the foreshadowing, the cluing in to what Jesus has been up to and will be up to, all of this builds up to the moment that is clearly a climax of some sort in this story. Even in the Gospel of Mark, where for the rest of the book we constantly hear Jesus telling people to keep what's going on under wraps, we see this freight train of energy and publicity hit as Jesus enters Jerusalem. It was an exciting moment for any pilgrim to get to go to the temple, but especially for Jesus' followers. Looking back, we know that the Gospels all ramp up the pace. They all crescendo at Holy Week. Palm Sunday is our indication that we're nearly there. We've almost reached the explosion of excitement that comes with Easter. Palm Sunday is exciting. And Palm Sunday is very ironic. The first irony is that in rides the Messiah that the people have been told is coming, and they don't even realize it. The people shouted, "Hosanna!" It looks like they got it, but we've sort of co-opted that word to be strictly one of praise these days in reference to Jesus. But that's not really what it used to mean. It started off meaning save us. But it had become a shout of acclamation or general greeting for any famous rabbi. It's possible, it's probable, that the people shouting Hosanna were just generally excited. They might have been followers of Jesus. Some of them probably were. People who had seen him teach before, who had seen him heal, perhaps even a few people who had been healed themselves. But they weren't necessarily acknowledging him as anything more than a good rabbi. Jesus rode in knowing what he was about to do for the sake of these people that still didn't get it. They're so far from getting the point that after all this excitement, they just kind of wander off. They don't stick around for very long after waving their branches. And it's not long before they turn around and demand Jesus' execution. 5 days. That's a fast turnaround. The second irony is the animal on which Jesus rode into Jerusalem. First of all, most pilgrims to Jerusalem simply walk through the gates. Jesus and the disciples had walked all the way there. Why the sudden need for a set of hooves? And if the Messiah was going to ride into Jerusalem majestically, why not on something cool like a camel or a horse? A donkey? Not even a donkey, a young donkey colt that had never been ridden before. This wasn't the sort of power the people expected from the Messiah. The fact that it had never been ridden made it especially good for sacred use. But the donkey also symbolized peaceful action. The only time royalty would ever have ridden into town on a donkey would have been as a sign of peaceful intentions. Jesus came in with triumphant shouts, but not as the warrior the people expected. The one who would conquer sin and death, the one to whom one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, came in not as a warrior, but as a harbinger and a carrier of peace. And did you notice that Jesus prepared for the entry himself? Sure, the disciples went and did the task of getting the donkey. And on Thursday, they'll get the room ready for the dinner. But on Friday, they still won't entirely get what's going on. Jesus knew this would be the last time he would enter Jerusalem, but nobody else did. Jesus has tried to tell his disciples what's going to happen, but they just aren't hearing it. Back at the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to build houses for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He's in complete denial that this death thing Jesus is talking about will actually happen. And the crowd understands Jesus even less than the disciples. The crowd are followers, maybe. They're interested, but they aren't disciples. They're fair-weather fans at best. We have a tendency to live in the same sort of irony that we see in the Palm Sunday narrative. We wave our palm branches and rejoice on Sunday for Jesus, but as the week wears on, Sunday fades from our memory, or we forget that there is a shadow on Sunday's palms. The shadow of Friday's cross looms over our celebration. There's a shadow on these palms that we are wise to remember. Not because we shouldn't allow ourselves to become emotionally invested in the story of Palm Sunday. It's okay to wave our palm branches and watch the children excitedly sing and shout, Celebration is important. That's part of our story. We're wise to remember it because that shadow on the palms is the heart of the story. That shadow on the palms is why we are able to celebrate. Without the shadow of Good Friday falling on the palms of the triumphant entry, they're just branches waved at another good teacher. We will gather this week to acknowledge that shadow. On Thursday evening, we will remember the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. Friday, we will remember his death, brutal and undeserved death, at the hands of people who were so desperate to hold on to their power and the status quo that they didn't realize that death was for their sake. And finally, on Easter Sunday, we will gather to celebrate that while Jesus entered into a world that didn't understand him, was put to death by people who refused to acknowledge him, that death ultimately could not hold him. In your preparations this week for what is considered to be the highest holy day of our Christian tradition, remember that we have a whole week of shadows to reflect on in order that we might fully understand the light of Easter. Let's not skip straight from the palms to the empty tomb, but remember the fullness of Jesus' sacrifice for us all. Amen.